Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast, we give you more buy low, sell high, who's not. I'm miserable about the Yankees. Vince had some hope from the Cubs, but not anymore. And we update you on our best ball draft that we had a couple weeks ago. Vince also peacocking there. And, well, Vince is at least on this episode, so it's better than the last one. So hey. Enjoy all that coming up. Welcome back to the Just Fantasy Baseball Podcast. My name is Rami Lavi. That is Vince D'Amato. If I'm sitting on my couch, you know what that means. I'm watching the Yankees lose to some trash team. Or maybe, just maybe a thought, the Yankees are the trash team. Clay Holmes, start there. Lost the closer role officially. Now, they said they'll get creative. They don't know. I bet Aaron Boone hasn't been told what he's going to do at the closer role yet. That's probably what's happening.
When they say get creative, that means we have no idea. We're just
it means Aaron Boone hasn't been informed by the computer what he's allowed to or not allowed to do yet. That's he's a data applicator. We know that about Aaron Boone. He doesn't like that, but that's what he is. Sorry. So Aaron Boone is going to have to apply some new data, because when you lead the league in blown saves, you can't keep going out there to attempt to win games.
It does remind me a little bit. I don't know if you remember last year when the playoffs started, what was Texas's biggest problem?
Their bullpen.
And what happened?
They won a World Series.
Don't count it out. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yankees have more problems than just one.
Sure.
They're playing today in their 10th consecutive rubber game, which means they're basically splitting the first two games of every series for the last 10 games. And they're 5-4 in those rubber games, but they've lost two consecutive series. If they lose today, it's 3 in a row and essentially 500. They're under 500 by 6 games over their last 68 games. This is not a small sample size. The Yankees are a bad team for the last 68 games. So, Vince, my friend, I hope you're cured from your hangover. I saw you with the hoodie on before when we first jumped on. I was hoping.
Yeah, no, I was.
You recovered from the weekend.
I was in work mode. That's sometimes when I'm in my work mode, I have my hood up and my headphones on, and I'm just, it helps me keep the zone.
Oh, I do love that, staying in the zone. What do you think the Yankees do? Like, is Clay Holmes? I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they have a 2-run lead tonight, if they went right back to him. I also wouldn't be shocked if there's any number of things. They have Clark Schmidt and Luis Gil in rehab assignments now. Could they be options? Is it Ian Hamilton? Is it Scott Efros, who we haven't seen since they called him back? I really don't know.
It's a good question. I haven't been watching too much of the Yankees because the Cubs have taken up a lot of my time. At least the time that I spend watching baseball. So I don't know if there's, at least I don't know if I have the answer. I don't know their bullpen well enough, right? I don't know the tendencies and things like that. I haven't dove into that, but I'm not sure. All I know from an outsider's perspective is that they're going to make the playoffs. And to me, that's all that matters right now. You're in, figure out the bullpen problems the best you can and patch job. And because you're not the only team going to the playoffs with problems, right? I mean,
well, yes, that's true. But the Yankees' biggest problems are their own and are themselves. Like, I'm not scared of any other team. They're going to get in their own way. Like, the fact that just now, start the inning, you have Verdugo and Trevino making weak contact on 3 pitches. And those are 2 batters back to back. Like, how? You have better options. Austin Wells is on the bench. Like, Jason Dominguez, what's happening with him? Is he ever going to get called up? He's still in the minors. You know what? I started last episode. I want to move on because I started last episode with this, and it's not a Yankee podcast.
Wait, can I ask a question though? Is Glaber back? Kind of. I mean, is he trustworthy ish in at least fantasy lineups? Or
I think so. I think so. I think he's not giving you a ton of production still. A lot of empty stats. A lot of singles and doubles. Some doubles. A lot of singles. But he's going to score some runs. His RBIs are mediocre. I know he's leading off, so there are not a ton of RBI. I just mentioned the bottom of the Yankee order, so not a ton of RBI opportunities.
Run scoring opportunities, though, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but can score runs because he's hitting in front of Judge and Soto. And that's another thing. Look, when Judge and Soto are struggling, like Judge has been struggling the last little while. I don't know if you've seen the numbers there. He's been struggling for a couple weeks. Well, guess what? You're not going to score a lot of runs, and you're going to lose a lot of games when Aaron Judge is struggling. That's kind of how it's been for the Yankees this year. I know earlier in the year, they were hot, and Glaber, oh, that's a diving star. No, he's an infield hit. So, wow.
It's hard to look at Soto's or Judge's stats, excuse me. I don't have any shares of him right now, and all I see is 51 home runs and 124 RBIs. Yeah, he's struggling. Whatever.
No. Okay, you want me to get the exact numbers?
No. I trust you. It's just,
I'm right.
Oh, he's really struggling. Yeah, how horrible of a 324 batting average. Yeesh. That's okay, tough.
Aaron Judge over the last is 4 for his last 24 with no home runs.
You know who else has been struggling is Royce Lewis, and that's been kind of, it's weird for me to see that too. He never struggles, but Judge has struggled, right? He struggled in the
beginning of
the
year. Judge hasn't hit a home run in like 8 games or something like that. This is actually his longest stretch of the year without a home run. So, so you think like early in the season he was so bad. Well, this is actually technically from a home run drought standpoint, this is worse. So, I know he's not as bad as he was earlier in the year, but this is a drought for him home run wise. And if he's not hitting home runs, I know he could be effective in other ways, but I don't know, maybe a day off is coming soon for Judge. I'm not quite sure. The other thing is it looks like Corey Seager's season might be over. He had a hip injury that he was put on the IL with. He was on the bench last night when I was watching the Yankee game, like, oh, he's an option off the bench. Corey Seager could come in. And then, so this kind of came as a surprise, I think.
Yeah. And I do think it has to do with them not being in the playoffs too. Maybe he could play through it if it was, something
true.
That they were really fighting for. But Seager is one of those like Yordan Alvarez, it's so sad because their biggest problem is just staying on the field. I mean, they're one of the best, I think of Yordan too, they're two of the best hitters in the game, just pure hitters. Seager's absolutely top. I don't know if it's top five, but definitely in that conversation of top five pure hitters, just unbelievable at everything. It is too bad to see.
I mentioned him on last episode. I was like, wow, this is a team that maybe they're fighting for something. And he's, you look at the numbers that he has on the year. And I don't know if you had a chance to look at his numbers. It's wow.
278, 30 home runs.
We may not have talked about him a single time all year. And then you look up at the end of the season, it's like, dude, this guy is just money nails good every single year. He's one of the freaking best in the league.
It is. I think fantasy wise, he gets pushed under the radar a little bit because of his injury history.
For sure.
But B, he doesn't offer any speed. So, we tend to like guys who can at least stay healthy and or provide
shortstop
speed.
We're looking for some speed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that might be part of it, but not his greatest season statistically this year, but still, I mean, just a lock for, he's again, a phenomenal hitter. 30 bombs and that's a bad year for him. Like
exactly. Here's the thing. Judge has 2 runners on now, 2 outs, 2-0 pitch. The Yankees down 2. He's not doing anything here. He's Mr. Low Leverage. Just watch. 3-0 on Judge. Mr. Low Leverage. I guarantee you it's a lazy flyout in this at-bat.
Oh, let's see it. I hope he hits a bomb.
I hope so, too. That's the thing. I don't want to be right. In the meantime, 3-0 pitch. Justin Steele, your guy. Another guy with an elbow injury. Mm-hmm. Another guy headed to the IL. It's just frustrating.
And with another team looking like they're not in the playoff picture, unfortunately, they got us excited for a brief second. I don't know. Have you been following the Cubs? Have you been?
Yeah, they made a little push. Judge walked on 4 pitches. Continue.
They had won on Monday. They had won, I want to say it was 10 out of 11 or 11 out of 12. And their playoff chances were up to almost 10%. And they've lost 2, and now they're back down to less than 2%. So, they got us excited for a little bit. And I imagine, so again, getting back to Steele. Yeah, I imagine Steele is probably out for the year. There's no chance for no reason really to bring him back. So yeah, it's too bad. He was having a good year too.
And some good news for 2 pitchers who might be, one is coming off the IL on Tuesday, and that's Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And then another one who could be activated sooner rather than later, which people thought his season was done for sure from a fantasy perspective. He might actually be back before the fantasy season is over. It's Kodai Senga. Kodai Senga from the Mets. I saw an article today. I forget who wrote it. I'm sorry. I should credit him. I should have written it down here, but I don't have it written down. So somebody wrote an article from the Mets that the Mets are considering, and it's a real option that Kodai Senga will be back. And another guy, Jacob DeGrom, making a start on Saturday, one of my favorite pitchers. Now, I don't know how much of a fancy option he is, I'll be honest, because he's...
I'm starting DeGrom. I'm absolutely starting Jacob DeGrom. I'm not even...
I know, but he said he's going to be working things out in the once he gets in the major. So the first couple starts could be... Like he said, his last rehab outing, he threw... seven sliders in a row because it didn't come out of his hand the way he liked it the first six times. Like, is he gonna be doing that in major league games? Again, you talk about teams who don't have much to play for. They don't have much to play for. So like, they might just tell DeGrom, hey, yeah, go out there, throw seven sliders in a row until you get the right release point on it. Like, I don't know if that's so conducive to him being productive from a fantasy perspective.
I'd like to get, I can never find him as easily as I'd like, his rehab stats.
I don't think he did. That's my point. I think he's throwing bullpen sessions. I'm not sure.
Oh, I thought he did. I'm so sorry. I'm looking at that.
Maybe he did.
It pitched August 23rd.
Yeah, you're right. I'm seeing things here.
I was going to say, I thought he threw a couple, but either way.
His most was 2 2/3 innings and 48 pitches. That's been his longest rehab.
I mean... I don't know. Maybe it depends on the matchup. Who are they playing, or who's he pitching against?
Well, it's Saturday. Who are they playing Saturday? If the MLB app was any slower, I would let you know.
I have ESPN. Saturday, the Rangers are playing
the Angels. Home against the Angels. They actually have, it shows Jack Leiter as the scheduled starter, so maybe Friday.
You starting Leiter on that one?
It looks, according to MLB, they're starting Leiter on Saturday.
Starting Leiter?
Oh, against the Angels? Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah, me too.
My season's cooked. I screwed myself two of the last 3 weeks. I'm just trying to have fun now, trying to keep it entertaining. I'm setting my lineup, trying to keep it interesting, but I'm screwed.
Yeah, maybe it is Friday because, they don't have a starter listed, but they have one for
For Saturday. You want to hear the funniest thing? You know, the White Sox are up 6-1 right now. My buddy put out today, he's like there's no talking me out of this, and there's a screenshot of a bet. I think it was like plus 30,000 for the White Sox not to win another game all year, and I think he bet it today, and they're up 6-1 on the Orioles.
I mean,
the first day he bet it, they've won 5 in their last 50 games, 5-45 in their last 50,
and they finally win it.
Of course,
who knows, they could blow it. It's Baltimore. Which is,
speaking of, by the way.
Oh, wait, I did want to. Sorry, I found DeGrom too.
Yeah, go ahead.
It looks like he's going to make one more rehab start on Saturday. And then next weekend against Seattle, he will potentially be in it. So keep an eye out for DeGrom next week.
You mentioned the Orioles. I said my lock of the week was Gunnar Henderson. He had been struggling a little bit. And then since then, he's hit a couple of home runs. And literally the first day after I said that, now it's 2 home runs. He set the Orioles single season record for home runs by a shortstop. He's incredible, and he's been awesome, and he has a bunch of hits. And so he's been hot. I could use him as my who's hot, but I literally, like 2 days after I said that, as I said, he's the lock of the week. He's been just the lock of this week. And on the other end, though, I did tell everyone to go pick up Spencer Arrighetti, my guy.
Yeah.
Had allowed 7 earned runs in 32 1/3 innings in August and was the AL Rookie of the Month. And I still think he's going to be great. So right now might be a buy low opportunity. He allowed 9 earned runs in 2/3 of an inning today. So against the Reds.
I saw that.
I think he's going to dominate in the playoffs. I still do. I believe it. I believe he's going to dominate down the stretch. He's going to be huge for the Astros. They don't have that real, like, I know they have Verlander. He's not ace level anymore. I think he could be the ace of the staff in the playoffs potentially. I still believe in him. If this is a buy low opportunity for you,
I have some beef with another take of yours from last podcast that you made.
Did you listen?
You know it. Yeah.
No, we'll get there. We'll get there. One of the clips online. Oh man, the social kids are screwing me.
We'll get there. But I did want to mention,
damn interns, I'm gonna get you.
Another guy that is back that I wanted to also bring up before I forget is Xavier Edwards. Looks like he's finally back. So sorry, go ahead.
I'm sure you didn't hear my take on Lawrence Butler then, because I went.
Well, we could talk about that one too. Yeah, because I know
said,
you wrote.
I don't know, and I can't trust him. He's not my buy low.
Yeah, yeah, and he wasn't, and now, and you know what happened? I think Lawrence Butler was listening because it was in two tight matchups last week.
Yeah, he told me he does listen.
Two tight matchups for the playoffs, and he was against me in both of those, and he single-handedly beat me. I mean, there's no. And funny enough, this week is Kyle Schwarber. I'm playing against Kyle Schwarber, and he's been meh. And he's got four home runs in 2 days. So
Schwarber hit three home runs in one game. The only two players that hit three home runs in a game this year are Kyle Schwarber and Lawrence Butler. I swear.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. How does that work out, right?
It hurts, man. It hurts a lot. Man.
How does that feel for you?
Well, that was Lawrence Butler was one of my guys who's hot, and because I had to bring him up. Schwarber was another one.
Reclaim him now.
No, that's fine. Okay. Well, I could say he's hot. Like, I can't, you know, I can't.
Like, my guy who's hot. Like,
no, he's not my. Did I say he's my guy?
Yeah,
no.
he's not.
Actually, he's my enemy right now. I want no part of him. This is purely out of spite. I will not have a share of Lawrence Butler. Maybe not even next year because I can't look at him, you know.
Okay. Who is your who's hot and who's not? Let's start with who's hot.
Sure. I mean, I grabbed a couple hitters and a couple pitchers. I'll mention the last hitter that I have on here. This one is my guy. You can't doubt me on this one. Corbin Carroll, my guy, has been finally hot, picking it back up. Four bombs in the last week. He's really had his power stroke finally come back. We knew this was coming. This is a top dude in the league. Potentially buy low next year. I don't know where his draft price is going to be at. I can't imagine it's going to be a first rounder. We'll see. Maybe.
I think he could rise to a first round because prior history, sophomore slump, like we know what he's capable of. And if he finishes the season strong, people are going to be all the way back in on him.
I guess
it's personal opinion.
And I guess, you know, maybe as I said that, I wish.
And hey, I guess we'll talk about it in March if we get renewed, right?
I think there's going to be there's going to be an interesting conversation. Are you going to take Corbin Carroll? Are you going to take like a Jackson Chourio, like one of these young guys who's coming? Because I imagine that, you know, Gunnar Henderson's going to move ahead of him. A lot of these guys behind him in ADP they just had much better and more consistent seasons.
So Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge. Yeah. I mean, right. We'll see. Yeah.
My two hots were Gunnar Henderson and Lawrence Butler. You want me to read the stats to you? I was just let's see. So Gunnar Henderson he's got a second home run of the week. He's 3 for 3 today. I think he was he had a bunch of hits the other day. He's got 8 hits on the week, 6 RBIs, 5 runs scored, and 2 stolen bases. So basically, been awesome. So Gunnar Henderson, and then the Lawrence Butler numbers. Let's go through it real quick. 469 on base, 6 home runs, 9 RBIs, 2 stolen bases, and 9 runs scored. Just stupid numbers. The number 2 ranked fantasy baseball player over the last week.
And maybe this is a sell high. I don't know. I mean, I think Lawrence Butler is legit. He hits the ball.
Don't do this again to yourself.
No, he's legit. I'm not going to say he's not, but he will have hot and cold stretches. There's just I don't think that's a question. And when he's hot, one of the best players on the planet, not a doubt. I also didn't want to mention, too, a couple pitchers. Bowden Francis, we called him out a couple weeks ago, and he's been the best pitcher in baseball. He even went out and shoved today against the Phillies. Like, that's no joke. Like, he, you know, he just really went out. And
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bryce Harper got hurt also.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that one. Jeffrey Springs is another guy who's been real hot. And then another one who most people maybe don't have on the radar, Matthew Boyd, has been phenomenal since he has come back. Very good potential arm.
I think I talked about him when he was coming back.
Mm-hmm. I think you did too. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, he's been really good. So
By the way, another guy who just continues to shove and got his 200th strikeout of the season is Chris Sale. I mean, insane what this guy's doing. He's 900 years old. He's actually like he's the oldest man alive, and he's turned back the clock. It's like somehow there was something put out in the universe that he'd revert back to himself from the White Sox, and the White Sox will turn into the worst team ever, like simultaneously. I don't know. Like, he took all of his talents from the White Sox, but in return, he had to ensure that the White Sox will never be good. I don't know how that works. Some sci-fi thing going on there, but pretty crazy to watch.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason I took him in our draft as my last pitcher. I mean, I think he's easily one of the top 10 best pitchers the rest of the way.
Who's not hot?
Lucas Ursig for the Kansas City Royals. And I put this one on here because we tend to forget about relievers. I really think, you know, just as a fantasy community, when you're going throughout the season and you're like, you know, especially at this point in the season, you're all looking at my starting pitching matchups, who's starting, who's, you know, who am I starting on offense? You maybe ignore, hey, my reliever is not doing that hot right now, and it's actually killing my ratios. Lucas Ursig has been killing your ratios. His last three outings, 7 earned. His ERA with Kansas City went from 0. He had a 0-0 ERA. Now it's a 4-4 ERA. Ursig is likely looking like he's going to lose this starting or the closing role. We'll see if he, you know, can hold on to it, but I'm not putting Ursig in any of my lineups until he shows otherwise.
Yeah, that's a good one right there. And we opened the show talking about relievers, right? Because we talked about Clay Holmes. So, yeah, you can't forget about the pitchers. I do like to point that out once in a while, that for these hots and nots, it's a little bit weird because we're looking over the last week or so. And some of these guys obviously have, you know, only one or two outings in the week across the week. So it's hard to judge them off of that. You got to kind of look at a bigger sample size with pitchers because guys are volatile. They will have ups and downs. But yeah, if a guy has a longer stretch like a Clay Holmes where he's just been awful, you got to take that into account. Speaking of bad stretch, Jackson Holliday, 6 for his last 31. And I know he looked better when he first got called up back to the Orioles, but now back to about a 200 on base over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, things are trending downward again, and he's going to keep getting playing time. Although Jordan Westberg, there's some other guys who can come up, but I think they're going to keep rolling out with him. And I just don't love what's going on right now with Jackson Holliday.
Yeah. It looks like Westberg did some throwing on Tuesday. So he could definitely potentially be coming back soon. And if he comes, I mean, if he was back today, I imagine Holliday would not be getting as much playing time, you know, like,
yeah, I did see that he's coming back soon. I saw someone picked him up in my league also. So I assume he's coming back or activated.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Good guy to look at to potentially pick up. But yeah, I think that's a good call, and it's sad, right? Because, you know, we want the best for these guys. We want them to come up and
just not blow the doors. He might be a good buy low. Like, you talk about value plays in the draft next year. I think he was a little bit overdrafted this year, like a little bit too high, probably in most leagues. Next year could be the year where it's like, all right, and he really pops off. We see this a lot. We saw it with Aaron Judge. He came up for that cup of coffee his first year and just really struggled. And then all of a sudden, I mean, he popped off all the way off, you know, his first year, obviously setting the rookie home run record and all that. It's then to be broken by Pete Alonso, but you get the point.
Yeah, yeah. And I also think his price could be pushed down. I'm not sure if it will be. It's hard to push down number one prospects like that. But when you have other prospects like Caminero, who's doing really well, or, you know, it depends on how some of these other guys maybe finish out. Maybe he does get pushed down a little bit. Maybe there's a little bit less shine to him because, hey, look at this other shiny toy like Caminero, who I'm going to take over him. So we'll see. I mean, there's a very real chance that Caminero is a higher ADP next year than Jackson Holliday, may even be already. So we'll see.
Do you have a buy low, sell high?
Somewhere on here.
I can start.
No, I got it. I'm right here because I want you to listen to me here. Ready? So this is actually a double buy low. These are two buy low dudes right here. And I'm going to read off the stats for one of them last week. They're both pitchers. Last week, 6 innings, 8 strikeouts to 2 walks. Solid line, right? What if I told you it was a reliever and it wasn't a starter, you'd say, I don't care. Those are starter numbers. I'll take 8 strikeouts and 6 innings. And that's, by the way, no earned runs. And that is to the credit of Aaron Ashby for the Milwaukee Brewers, who's coming back and looks like he's going to be kind of this bullpen guy that, you know, is going to throw a couple innings here and there. And it looks like he's going to get you maybe 6 innings a week, which 6 innings, 8 strike. That's a starter's workload right there.
I always wondered about that, like with Michael King last year, for example, when he was giving you, you know, 2-3 innings per outing, 2-3 times a week. It's like, hey, this is almost, and he was giving up nothing and striking out a ton of guys. He's like averaging 14 Ks per nine. It's like, hey, he might be worth more than a starter.
And so Aaron Ashby and then D.L. Hall, who he also made a start, looks like he's going to go back to the bullpen. But at the same time, this D.L. Hall could be, you know, what Aaron Ashby is now, that could be D.L. Hall. And so these are two guys, they're 22% is Ashby rostered, 22% leagues. D.L. Hall is 38% rostered. D.L. Hall could be like that next Aaron Ashby where he's making, you know, seven innings throughout a week. And hey, look, there's 9 strikeouts or something like that. And the reason why I think they're such good buy lows is because they are such good pitchers. You know, the likelihood that they keep your ratios down, help in strikeouts, I think is just, it's such good value. And they're probably on almost every waiver wire that you can find, unless you're real deep league or dynasty leagues or something like that. So I'm absolutely buying low on both Aaron Ashby and D.L. Hall. And I think they can both provide starter value, maybe without, you know, quality starts. They can't get you a quality start, but Aaron Ashby stole a win last week, and you know, maybe they have a couple holds here and there. So there's other value to be had. So definitely go look at Aaron Ashby and D.L. Hall for this week.
My buy low is Randall Grichuk for the Arizona Diamondbacks. We talked about how hot that team is. Over the last week, he has 4 home runs, 9 RBIs, 8 runs scored, a .625 on base percentage. Oh, and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has gone down with an injury. He's going to go on the IL. So who's going to get some of those at-bats in the outfield? Probably Randall Grichuk. And so buy low, buy him while he's hot. Play him while he's hot, start him while he's hot. I really like that. And again, I love going for lineups on teams that are still have something to fight for, something to play for. And they're one of those teams right now, and their lineup's pretty hot. They have some holes with some injuries out there. So this is a good opportunity. We talked about Ketel Marte already. So, or I don't know if we talked about it before. We might've talked about it before we started recording, but we talked about Ketel Marte earlier. And so I like Randall Grichuk to get some at-bats in the middle of that lineup, and he's hot right now.
Yeah, he absolutely is. He's out today. I don't see who's starting instead of him, but we'll see. I hope he gets the starts because he's definitely earned them. And Grichuk's a guy, I've had a lot of shares of Grichuk throughout the years, and he's a guy I want to see thrive, so I hope he definitely does keep it up. I have a sell high for you, and I don't think you're going to like it, but I like it. I'm going to sell high on David Peterson. I knew you wouldn't like it. He had another great start.
Hey, right? Now would be the time to sell high. Another great start last night. Mm-hmm.
His last 6, I did a little bit of the crunching. Last 6 starts, 44 and 2/3 innings, allowed 8 earned runs and a 1.62 ERA. Phenomenal. That's amazing, right? Why would you sell high?
6
to
innings,
him, right?
1 run, 11 strikeouts last night.
And 11, that's career high, right? 11 strikeouts for him.
On unbelievable. His birthday.
I didn't know that. Actually, that's pretty cool.
29th birthday. They only mentioned it 700 times during the broadcast.
That's awesome. But the two numbers, I guess 3 numbers that I really don't like, 4.85 xERA, 19% strikeout rate, which is just so bleh, and 10% walk rate. On top of that, his next 2 starts are against Toronto and Philadelphia. No, thanks. I think maybe he doesn't blow up in one of those 2 starts. Maybe he continues. If I can cash out on David Peterson, I am absolutely doing it. I'm not even going to test it.
Ryan, close your ears. Sorry.
Yep. Sorry. But hopefully, I don't know. I just traded. I'll tell Ryan. I just traded for a Brandon Sproat in a dynasty league. So we'll keep our fingers crossed there.
My sell high is Cedric Mullins. He's been really good for the last couple of weeks for the Orioles. 4.14 on base. He's got 3 stolen bases, 5 RBIs, a home run, 6 runs scored. The problem is that's not who he is. Well, I just mentioned Scott Efros earlier, by the way. He's coming up. The problem is that's not who he is. That's not who he's been the last few years. It's nice to see this flash from Mullins finally. after a 305 on base last year with only 19 stolen bases and a 294 on base this year with only 25 stolen bases. It's nice to see him show up. Welcome to the season. Welcome to the last few years of your life, Cedric Mullins, where you've been like a really mediocre at best outfielder offensively and really not even a playable fantasy baseball player. So if you want to pick him up, or if you have him and he's been hot lately and you know you've been streaming him, get rid of him now. Like, try and find a trade partner, try and do something, because guess what? He is not this. This is not who he is. But congrats on being not ass for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think that's a good one, because there's probably still good name value.
There's value. There's name value there, and also there's team value. We talk about that a lot. Like, I think the Orioles are going to run away with the AL East, and I think, you know, people are going to say, oh, get me anyone from that lineup. Well, no, not anyone. There's two guys, Jackson Holliday and Cedric Mullins. I wouldn't want those guys. You give me, you know, Kobe Mayo or Colton Cowser or any other one of those guys, I'll take them.
Yeah, Jackson Kobe Holliday Mayo hasn't figured it out either. Kobe Mayo's hitting 0-91 right now.
Yeah, I'd still buy low on him.
Sox are up 8-1 now.
On
the Orioles. Looks like Texas, your friend's going to lose 3-0. That's too bad. Come on, Stroman. Figure it out.
He actually wasn't even that bad. Whatever. It's just ridiculous. They don't play defense behind him. It's crazy.
By the way,
they're down 3-0. If you had to guess, how many times the Yankees have come back from 3-run deficit this year? Not late innings, just 3-run deficit at all this year.
10.
3 times.
Oh.
That is the second lowest in the league.
Wow. I thought they would be on the higher end. No.
The lowest is the Chicago White Sox. Yeah, yes. Yeah. The team that's won 5 games in the last 5 months. Yes.
That is unbelievable. They're so bad. That was.
So are the Yankees.
They're not that bad. Come on. Come on, the White Sox are. This is
they're not the White Sox bad, but they're just.
I wrote this down because I was like, at some point, even a Cubs
the White
fan,
Sox are historically bad.
Like, when so like for example, the Cubs and Sox. There's not a whole lot of beef between them. Like there is, we're not best friends, right? But it's not like I'm actively.
It's always weird. It's like
them.
We pretend the White Sox don't exist. They're older. Like they've been around for like just as long, if not longer, than the Cubs. And like everyone pretends like, oh, Chicago's team, the Cubs, you know, it's like, what? The White Sox have been around forever. Like,
I think it's, I don't know. Maybe it's the lovable losers kind of thing that the Cubs.
No
have
one
for
gets
a long
more
time.
Disrespect than the White Sox,
you know, and people hate their, I'm not a fan of their owner, Jerry Reinsdorf.
Right.
That's ran true. The Bulls into the ground too. It's just so sad to see. So sad. Yeah. Anyways, as far as the prospect report goes, I did want to mention, you know, there's some names, not really anyone that I'm super excited about at the moment, because here's why. Rami, it's playoff time for fantasy baseball, right? We're entering playoff.
I wouldn't know.
That's funny. Now is not the time to get cute with prospects.
Right.
Now is not the time.
Unless it's Jack Leiter.
Well, yes, because he was pitching against the White Sox. but now's not the time, and this is where I had a problem with one of your takes. Jordan Walker does not belong in anyone's fantasy lineup this week, and he's going to need to show some serious turnaround before I'm ready to buy back in on Jordan Walker. He has been atrocious this whole year, which is it's just such a crazy transition, right? Last year he was an above average hitter last year, and it's just he regressed. It's so weird to see. Manzardo has
buy low for like good value in the draft next year. I think
we'll see. We'll see. I hope so, because I have a share of Jordan Walker. I'd like to see him flourish. Manzardo has some interest, right? He came up and hit 2 home runs and has been okay since then. Kobe Mayo, again, you know, don't get cute. This isn't the time to throw in a prospect because he's a prospect and you like him. You know, you need guys who are going to get you volume and are consistent playing time guys. A guy that could be interesting that we talked about a little bit, Lucan Baker, if you're in an OBP league, he's got a 370 on base. I'm still not sure if he's going to get enough playing time to warrant a start. I'd rather have Manzardo, but he's got power. We'll see. So prospect-wise, this isn't so much this guy's coming up, get excited about him. Roster's expanded, so tons of guys came up. You know, but those are mostly depth pieces. I'm not here to, you know, say go start this prospect or go get this one, because chances are you probably don't need a prospect who is just called up right now. So That's my prospect report. Don't start prospects right now.
Okay, good prospect report. Quickly update us on our league, and then we will get out of here.
Sure. So we is do you want I'm sorry, our basketball league or yeah. Yes. Okay. So yeah, Rami and I drafted. We drafted on August 14th, we think the date is. We just did a quick one position player for each position, three outfielders, five pitchers, and we broke down our strategies and did all that live on a different episode. You can go listen to that. Where we kind of just did a best ball for the rest of the year.
Episode.
And so far, out of the 10 categories, Vince is winning in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And Rami is winning in 1, 2, 3. So it is 7-3 right now, 17 points to 13 points. Rami definitely has saves. If you go back and listen to that one, you can understand how he clinched that one very, very quickly. And it was
and
smart.
Ketel Marte, smart. By the way.
Ketel Marte has kind of killed you. But at the same time, I think even with Ketel Marte, I'm still beating you in home runs, runs. RBIs are probably closer. Stolen bases you have already. It would be closer. I think, the injury kind of kills it because I wish, maybe I could take away.
Hope one of your guys gets hurt
or something. Hey, that's not cool. That's not cool.
Well, Aaron Judge has been asked for a while. Don't you have Aaron Judge?
I do. Yeah. So he might as well be hurt, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I shouldn't have taken
you took the freaking pitcher for the Nationals, Jake Irvin.
No, I should have though. No. Cole Reagans hasn't been very good over the last three starts. That one's kind of killed.
I also wanted to take Mookie and Carroll, and I think I ended up taking one and not the other.
Carroll would have been a good pick. Carroll would have been a really
Schwarber,
good pick.
Whatever. Whatever.
Yeah. So that is the league update. I am currently winning. We got a little ways to go here, but so far it's 7-3. We'll see. See how it ends.
All right. Anything else from you?
No, I think the Cubs are out. I'm just sad about that. That's all.
The Yankees stink. They're losing this game. They're down 5-0. And like I mentioned, they don't come back in games this year. So Showman's out of the game. So until next time, like, subscribe, share the podcast. Appreciate everyone for listening. Peace.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.